Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, sparking global changes around the world. And every time you hear the theme song from Marvin Gaye asking the question, what's going on? There is a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. We are less than 3 weeks away. We are less than 3 weeks away for the most consequential election in our lifetime, ladies and gentlemen. And this morning on Mic Check, we're going back to the series, the Kamala Harris movement, the historic movement of Vice President Kamala Harris run for the top job in the world, to become leader of the free world, President of the United States of America. Joining me this morning in the series is former Barack Obama Field General, Mr. Gregory H. Smith. The man once worked for the 44th President, Barack Obama. He understands what kind of movement this is, and he has now joined us to share his views on Kamala's run to the White House and his experience working for the former President Barack Obama. Good morning, Gregory. How are you?
Good morning, Clem. I am well.
You know,
how are you?
I am blessed this morning, and as I posted this morning on social media, with every step I take it in faith, my brother. I take it in faith. So welcome to Groovin' Radio, my friend. Welcome. Now,
thank you.
Sparking Global Changes, Groovin' Radio, series on Kamala Harris's run to the White House. This is a movement, Gregory Smith. You were a part of another movement, and I want to start there because you were a part of President Barack Obama's movement when he ran for president. Tell our listeners who have never heard you before, Greg, what was that like for Gregory Smith, a young Jamaican working for the former President Barack Obama? What was that like?
First and foremost, I want to thank God again for this moment in time sharing with you, because part of my getting to know you, I joke with the president sometimes saying it's because of him that I got to meet you.
Uh-huh.
So, Ross Klimt, it's a blessing knowing you via from Barack Obama.
Indeed.
On your question specifically,
mm-hmm.
My mom came here for the possibility of America.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, as an immigrant, depending on where you're coming from, you could make it in America if you put the work in and do the hard work that's required.
Mm-hmm.
Barack did that for me, where I got to see why my mom gave up Jamaica to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Barack would tell us that in the unlikely story that is America, there's nothing false about hope.
Mm.
And that's what Barack gave us. He gave us the hope that we could all be better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've turned that hope upside down in ways where my mom, God bless her, who left us recently,
mm-hmm.
would realize that America is still the she's a citizen of a nation that is not yet, that hasn't yet existed, but must.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala,
mm-hmm.
I believe, is that extension, but we also have a choice.
Indeed.
And while I knew I was going to talk with you this morning, I woke up and I thought about, you know, the issue really isn't Trump. And maybe that's what God gave me that thought process.
Mm-hmm.
The issue isn't Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The issue is us.
Mm-hmm.
Because a major party in America has elected somebody as their standard bearer,
mm-hmm.
who is a convicted
mm-hmm.
felon.
Mm-hmm.
Defrauded the state of New York,
mm-hmm.
found guilty of rape,
mm-hmm.
filed multiple bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scammer who had to pay $25 million back to folks who he tried to scam.
Mm-hmm.
And given the choice of him or Kamala,
mm-hmm.
those are the two options we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tell our kids to aspire. as if they're not looking at seeing what we're offering them.
Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, Greg, folks would say that if this is what the GOP has to offer, if this is what the Republican Party has to offer, you talk about Donald John Trump, a man who was convicted on 34 counts, he's a felon, but yet still, he is allowed to run for president. But you also mentioned the $25 million that he had to pay back through the scam he ran with Trump University. You also talk about the many times over that he has filed for bankruptcy. He's a failed businessman. But I tell you this, Greg, for some reason, there are over 70 million people who are still not buying that this man is unfit for office. There are 70 million plus people who still think that this man who call January 6th a day of love. Is this what America has come to, Greg? And I don't want to go into this deep yet, you know, because I still want you to talk about the movement that you first worked with before we got here, and that's the Barack Obama movement. But I had to put that out there based on what you just said. So just rewind the clock a bit. And what was it like for you then, Greg? A young Jamaican. Did you ever think that you would get close to a man who would become president of the United States?
Yeah. Okay. Answer your Barack question first, or answer the choice that we had, that Trump is our choice?
I want to go to the Barack question first.
Okay. So, again, Barack was raised by a single mom, just like me. An African-American, I'm a Jamaican-American. Barack talked about what this country can really do for the masses of people. And he gave us the inspiration. I'm telling you, my oldest son, Gabriel, and I saw parts of America based on what Barack caused in me.
Mm-hmm.
The inspiration that he caused in me, mm-hmm, made me visit just about every state in America.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to Denver to work on his campaign,
mm-hmm,
and I chose Denver because at the time Denver was considered a red state.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought with my passion and what the campaign had taught me, I would be able to impress upon mostly white folk in Denver why Barack is the only choice for the possibility, mm-hmm, of America,
mm-hmm,
becoming that beloved community that Dr. Harding used to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose there and met countless many people there, and was thankful to know that when I left there, that state voted for Barack and we left it a blue state.
Mm. Mm. Amazing.
That's what hope and inspiration can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what love of the possibility of being better can do. That's you looking in your kid's face and knowing that even if it's rough today, if you put the work in, your tomorrow can be different. America is the last best hope for man.
Mm.
And nobody can tell me how dilapidated and how depressing America is.
Mm.
You look on the news day after day and they crunch the ism of immigrants either coming here or doing whatever they can to come to America, and they scare you, mm, into thinking that I need to be afraid of the same immigrant who I was and who most of the people who are elected in office now, them too were.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than realize that this is how great America is,
mm-hmm,
that you will do what you can to come here,
mm-hmm,
rather than thinking that we're letting in people who are coming to harm America.
Mm-hmm.
Immigrants built this nation, but lack of knowledge will let you buy what Trump is selling.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also mindful of this.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger picture, The bigger picture is this. We are living out our brokenness. And scripture tells us that. And we're in the same mix right now. Mm-hmm. We never forget that we are the people who, when given the choice of choosing Christ or Barabbas, mm-hmm. we chose Barabbas. Mm. And so long as we keep forgetting that, we will continue to elect people like the Trumps too. Mm. We will play ourselves. We have diminished our own integrity and take what somebody will give you. Mm. I have brothers, and I'm talking brothers and sisters, meaning black folk,
right.
who will tell me they're voting for Trump. And I would ask them why.
Mm.
And they'll tell me because he gave them a stimulus check.
Really?
And they really believe that.
Really?
They believe that, not knowing that when that check was allotted for every single American during COVID via the federal government, Trump ordered the Treasury to put his name on the check. He ordered them to put his name on the check. So when the check arrived and you see his name, everyone is thinking, I mean, those who are not that savvy is thinking, whoa, he gave me a check.
Wow.
So when black folk tell me still that Trump is their guy because he's a businessman and he gave them this check, which was their money in the first place, you get to realize that's how you could get played. Just like he play us with tariff. Tariff is tax coming to us that we're going to pay.
Indeed.
We're paying that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in setting up a war against other nation with the tariff war. That meaning he'll go to war with Jamaica. He'll go to war with Canada. He'll go to war with Mexico. He'll go to war with any nation that is sending us goods that we now have to pay more for it. But he tells that to everybody, and they say yes.
But here's
yes to that too.
But here's a question, though. Here is the question, Greg. Is this the best the Republican Party has to offer? Is this really the best candidate that the Republicans could have chosen to be their standard bearer? Isn't this embarrassing to the world?
Oh, it is. But fear does that. Fear does that in the same way where white folks used to, and some still do, fear black folk. They create their own boogeyman and be afraid of it. Every elected official on the GOP side was afraid to call out Trump, and their fear was based on this. He would bully them out of their job rather than standing up to him. Listen, again, I'm from Jamaica. I was always the smallest and the skinniest guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I stood up to every Goliath I found growing up.
Right.
Because I know as a kid, I had my own self about me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I clock that bully, the bully will know not to mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't, the bully will take my money every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what Trump has done to the GOP party.
Mm.
He's bullied all of them, and it just shows how spineless they all are. For them to be played by this guy, that when they're in a back room amongst their peers, they call him Orange Jesus.
Mm. Wow.
They call him Orange Jesus.
Wow.
But they can't call him to his face.
Mm.
And that's the issue. You know, I read this quote just this morning coming on here that Malcolm talked about. And the quote essentially said something to the effect that when you want to help people, you tell them the truth. When you want to help yourself, you tell them what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we've arrived.
Wow.
That's where we've arrived in terms of Trump.
On November,
and you drank the Kool-Aid.
On November 5th, there are two people running for president. One, a former district attorney, former attorney general from the state of California, former U.S. senator, and the current vice president. A resume that stands like no other resume. Not even when Barack Obama ran for president, his resume speaks so loud. And on the other side, you have a guy who's a failed businessman, a man who has filed bankruptcy some 6-7 times, a man who have run all his casinos into the ground, a man who has run his airline into the ground, a man who lied about his real estate earnings and ownings and how much money they were valued, a man who was convicted 34 times on felony charges. He's currently facing election fraud charges. A man who was convicted, his business was convicted here by Attorney General Letitia James. And yet still, he is the standard bearer of the Republican Party. Barack Obama spoke last week in Pittsburgh. And he spoke to black men. And he asked, what is the problem why they would not vote for Kamala Harris? And some of the excuses that you will hear or you heard talking about when she was district attorney or when she was attorney general, who she prosecuted and how she prosecuted black and brown people. That was her job. But if you did something wrong, you had to be convicted. If you were a criminal, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. That is your job. And not because she was or she is from Indian, Jamaican background. It means, as a black woman, she should let you walk free. So that is the reason why you would not vote for her, or you won't vote for her. She is the best candidate, Gregory Smith. She is the candidate that we must, as Barack Obama said when he was running in 2008, change that we can believe in. Change that we can believe in. Kamala Harris is saying to us, we're not going back. But why should we go back, Gregory Smith? Why should we go back to Jim Crow? Is that what many of these folks would like to see America going back to? Is that what they want to?
You know, I wrestle with my African-American folks in this country because they either seem to have really, really low self-esteem or a memory that's devoid of facts. You touch on everything that Kamala has achieved in her life to be on the precipice of being the first American woman president. And we leave out the fact that when the Central Park Five folks was exonerated, Trump I'd put out in a newspaper centerfold description of them that they all needed to be executed, and played forward how many years later, all of those guys were now found innocent of the same charges that Trump wanted to execute them for, and they were kids at the time. So when you hear black American have issue with either somebody doing their job and never forget that we live in a law-abiding nation and is prosecuting black and brown folks who should be prosecuted for the stuff they do, that's when you realize when you don't want to be responsible, you will also choose to align yourself with someone who's also irresponsible. And so they see themselves in Trump, in his isms, and rather than call it out and walk it back, they also embrace it, because embracing it meaning it qualifies their ism as well. But in the end, man, we're passing through. We're just passing through, and all of us is going to one day have to give an account. And no matter what you end up telling Christ then, Christ is just going to say, yo, man, let's just go to the videotape. Let's just go to the videotape. You chose this guy over this lady. Listen, there is nothing Trump has done that I, thank God I have two boys, that I would tell him to aspire to that. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing Trump has done in his entire life. I would tell my boys to aspire for, but black Americans here, they think Trump is rich, and that's all it takes. They'll sell their left arm because money is what they respect and honor.
Mm.
And trust me, when Trump time comes, whatever means they think he has, he can't bring it where he's going either.
Mm.
And he's going to have to give an account.
Okay.
And vice versa. It's
right.
us.
Mm-hmm.
We got to look ourselves in the mirror and say to ourselves, is this the world I want to bequeath my kids?
Greg.
Because, you know, when Barack ran, Barack had two young kids. He had mission raising his daughters. And trust me, leaving your kids for anybody, even your mates, that's a heavy thing to ask somebody to do. But the fact that he loved this country that much and saw what he can do to make this country better, he was able to say, no, I'll let my wife raise my daughters right now and do what I can and what I must. Why? The big picture.
Right.
His kids.
You
it
know,
was for his kids.
Right.
We keep losing the fact that Trump is running for president, not to go to jail. And then I need to ask everyone listening here that what would they do if they were applying for a job that if they got it, they don't go to jail, or if they lose, where they end up. And then let them answer that question. What would I do then? Would I not sell everything I can not to go to jail?
Right.
That's where we are.
Right.
We got to check ourselves, man,
and
see what, and it's not about us. Sometimes you got to look past yourself and realize, my God, man, I got my kids that they're looking up to us to do better. I can't ask my kids to be their best when I am selling them short. I can't.
Program note
I
here.
I can't, and we shouldn't either.
Program note here, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Groovin' Radio. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes. With less than 3 weeks away before the presidential election on November 5th, 2024, ladies and gentlemen, the historic movement of Vice President Kamala Harris's run to the White House. There's only two candidates that are running for president, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. You have two choices, ladies and gentlemen. You have a choice of going moving forward, or you have a choice of going back. The former president has three immigration proposals on the table. But before I get to that, my special guest this morning, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this series of Kamala's run to the White House, is former Barack Obama Field General, Mr. Gregory H. Smith, that chose Denver as a place to go work for Barack Obama when Barack Obama, who became the 44th president, was running for president. When Barack Obama left office, he wrote a book called Promised Land. I'm taking a look at it right now in front of me. But let me say this, and I'm saying this to women. The Washington Post reported this week, Gregory, that a heckler at one of Trump's rally, Trump's remark was that the heckler, he suggested that the heckler should get the hell knocked out of her after the rally. He was talking about a woman. He was talking about a woman, that she should get the hell knocked out of her. That is the person who some folks are going to be voting for. And he's also the same person who has set the Supreme Court in such a way that even this past week, the Supreme Court of the United States elected not to hear AB 5 for gig workers, a case out in California in the Assembly, Bill 5, a law that will make it even more difficult for workers, for gig 5 workers to be classified as independent contractors. This is Donald Trump's Supreme Court. The same Supreme Court who, after the lower court's rule that Mr. Trump has no immunity, the Supreme Court says, hold on, he has immunity. But Gregory, there are still people who are going to jail for January 6th. And it brings me to this. The January 6th insurrection led by Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and his cronies, Trump called it this week a day of love. How embarrassing that is, Gregory Smith. How embarrassing that is.
Trump has realized that if he came out to say today is Wednesday, his sheeps will accept it's Wednesday. And I alluded to it when we first started this call. It's not about Trump. It's about us. It's really about us. What do we, how do we see ourselves in this world? What is acceptable to us? And whatever that is acceptable to us, that's what we gravitate towards. So you tell your kids to go to school, get a degree, get an education, be forthright citizens out there. Or you tell them to go gangbang, sell whatever you have to say, rip off whoever you have to rip off and roll like that. Those are some of the choices we as a civilized society ought to recognize. We can't end up electing a demagogue who, with the experience now that we've seen how bad he is, we go and revisit that. There come a time in all of our lives that we gotta step it up and desire more for ourselves, the betterness of ourselves, the stuff that Dr. King gave his life for. We have to aspire for that. I find that we're living in a time where, even though America is still a racist nation, they seem to prefer the dark over the light. And somehow we got to get ourselves into the light, because we end up wasting so much time with this guy with all of this failed policy, that if you were to ask one of his supporters why they are for Trump, give me one reason, not one of them could tell you why they're for him. But in the end, it's based on this, and they gotta own it as well. We've elected a white supremacist when he wasn't outed as one but lived as one in his elected capacity.
You know, Greg, and that's where I was going to go next. But let me say this. This is not the first time a white supremacist ran for president. The only difference between Donald Trump and David Duke when David Duke ran for president is that folks knew that David Duke was the head of the KKK. Folks did not realize who Donald Trump was when he ran and won the election in 2016. And today, we clearly understand who Donald Trump is. And it brings me to this. Are we staring down the barrel of an open white supremacist leader becoming the next president of the United States, after he told you he would love to be a dictator for a day, even for a day, you're going to allow this man back into the White House after he said he's going to have mass deportation, he's going to change the U.S. birthright citizenship rules and laws, he's going to denaturalize nationalized citizens and send them back home? Do you think he's talking about one person or one nation in particular? Look at what's hold on. Look at what's happening in Israel as we speak. And I ask Americans to pay close attention. The current Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, He was convicted after he was prime minister first. And then he ran, being a convicted felon, and won. And look at what he's doing in Gaza today as the world stand by and watch. So here it is. We have a man who has been convicted 34 times over. And he's standing very close, if we're not careful. He's standing very close to the doors of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue again. And this is what we want to see, a white supremacist as president? Gregory Smith, answer that.
Again, scripture says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The issue again isn't Trump, man. For Trump to win, 51% of Americans got to vote for him. He got fired the last time because he didn't get that majority. We got to decide for ourselves who we are and who we want to represent us.
Mm-hmm.
When Donald Trump lost the first time,
mm-hmm.
he made history in that he received, I want to say, maybe 67 million people voted for him.
70 plus million people voted for him.
74 mm-hmm. million voted for him, mm-hmm. which at the time was the most a GOP had ever gotten as a candidate for presidency, and he lost. And what Trump couldn't fathom is, though that number was historic and it was the most anybody had ever voted for a GOP candidate,
mm-hmm.
what he leave out, and because he is so dense, was that Biden had gotten 83.7 million people to vote for him. What Trump couldn't accept is, though the GOP kept telling him that was the highest they've ever voted for a GOP person, but he still lost. He mm-hmm. is the person where you realize, my God, I will continue to change the goalposts if I get more than what my party have ever gotten, mm-hmm. but I still lose. And it's the same thing with Benjamin Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu lost in Israel
mm-hmm.
when he wanted to disband their equivalent to our Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no. We're all going to be answerable to our laws. And so when even this issue, as horrible as it is with October 7th,
mm-hmm.
what Hamas did was reprehensible. Reprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
My Israeli friends need to defend themselves just like I would if anybody tried to harm me and or my family. I should live in peace.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who was now defending Israel is also such a flawed person
mm-hmm.
that the war has helped him because it has made him stay in power and not answerable to what he was facing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to even them killing this guy recently,
mm-hmm.
he kept changing the reasons for a ceasefire
right.
because the sooner this war ends, the sooner he is again answerable
yes.
to the people of Israel. And he doesn't want that.
Now,
and that's the same where we've ended up in America.
Right, right.
What we need to do, again, my Israeli friends got to realize what do they want? What do they truly want?
Mm-hmm.
And get rid of this guy. Just like America has to do the same thing for itself.
Indeed.
And be the America is called to be.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
buddy, we have a short time now to do that.
Indeed. Indeed.
We have a short time left.
Let's
keep playing with time as if we have tomorrow.
Less than 3 weeks.
And none of us have it.
Less than 3 weeks away. But I want to mention something here. And you know, not to say a life for a life. But I understand the Israelis have to defend themselves after what Hamas did. But you can't tell me. You told the world that between 1,200 and 1,500 people were killed when Hamas attacked a year ago in October. You have killed over 50,000 Palestinians. You have slaughtered over 50,000 Palestinians. You have destroyed Palestinians. the Gaza Strip. You have even gone as far as bombing medical institutions. And you are distracting the world for your own reasons. And I said earlier on, are we seeing a global collapse? And they're using all these distractions to take the focus off what's really happening? Because if you think what's happening in America is American, you make a sad mistake. The truth about the American election, we may have to go to Nostradamus. We may have to go there to get a prediction of who wins the November 5th election. But I can assure you, if Donald Trump wins come November, this entire place is going to change. And if it doesn't change, it would be because the U.S. military realized that the wrong person has been elected. Because you now hear Trump supporters calling for the FBI to go, the CIA to go, the Secret Service to go. They're even asking for the Supreme Court to go. This is what some of Donald Trump supporters are asking. And we're sitting by thinking that this is not real. And I say to my community, and I ask these questions on a daily basis, what do we really care about, Gregory Smith? Sometimes I ask, do we care about politics? Do we care about breast cancer? Or do we care about prostate cancer? What do we care about? Do we care about AIDS or the drug epidemic? Because it seems to me, not only our community, Gregory Smith, but majority, or let me rephrase that, millions of Americans seems not to care about the danger that this man possesses. We're living in some serious time, Gregory Smith. Serious times. You there?
I'm there. I'm soaking up what you're saying, because what you're saying is really deep and thoughtful in ways where I find that we are losing folks who are wrestling with some of the questions that you're asking. We're in a time where folks seem to be concerned about either the score of a game, or the fact that their neighbor got a new car, or somebody else did this and they didn't do that. I am of the opinion that some of even the pollings that we even get now, it's analogous to either you are either interviewing or polling or asking folks who are so depressed themselves that they don't care what truly happened.
Indeed.
Though they may know that Trump could be the end of America as we know it, because they can't see past their own stuff, they will soon go there instead. Because rather than we get better as a nation and raise them, but because they are depressed and they don't see themselves in the future of America, they'd soon rather America end them. And that's where we've fallen into the depressive state of what Trump has to offer.
Right.
Because again, Trump is fearing us to vote for him.
Yeah.
Where when I was with Obama, it was the aspiration of the greatness of America and how much better America can become that made millions galvanized to go knock on doors, call folks, wrote letters, left other states to live in other states to make sure that that happens. The good thing in America is this. Trump doesn't have those people out there, because it takes joy to go out there day in and day out to talk to your neighbor, even when you're not happy, because you know that morning does come.
Right.
Trump is the darkness, and the light is coming come November 5th.
Yeah.
Trust me, Kamala's going to clean his clock, and he's going to say the same thing he said 4 years ago, and his minions is going to regurgitate that same stuff, but he will say it in the woodwork just like every other despot, and we will say one day, what the hell was America thinking of then? Even our economy is showing that we can't go back to Trump. And my folks who only concern about America is their bottom line, well, let them rest on that too. The stock market is making record over record over record. So even if your argument is he's a businessman, even that he failed at. Even that he failed at.
You know, for the
so, again, if you've lost your moral compass, and again, money is your god, well, maybe you might want to worship the Biden economy, because everybody 401k is better off, is better now than then.
You know, you mentioned tariffs earlier on, and a lot of people, when I listen to the lies being told about what tariffs are going to do if we want to get back to certain production jobs, folks don't realize that China don't really care if you put tariff on their goods coming here. Because we're the ones who are we're the ones who are going to be paying the price, and Donald Trump has sold to his followers that it's a good thing, because if we want to get back to certain things, we're gonna have to put tariffs on these people. No, I mentioned Nostradamus earlier on, and there's a political forecaster. His name is Alan Lichtman. Right? And he has predicted correctly almost every single presidential election since 1984. And right now his prediction might not seem to be going the way they've always gone. Because if we don't get up on November 5th. As a matter of fact, early voting has already started in this country. So if you're in a state where there is early voting taking place, go out and vote. I saw some lines in North Carolina this past week. I saw some lines in Georgia this past week. People are eager to cast their votes. But also remember this, Gregory Smith. Some people gave the ultimate price for us to have a franchise to vote. Some people gave the ultimate price for us to have a franchise to vote. Don't waste it, folks. Remember what black folks have gone through in this country for us to be here. And when Shirley Chisholm first ran for Congress, some people thought she would not have gone to Congress, and she did. So Kamala Harris stands on the shoulder of people like Shirley Chisholm, Reverend Jesse Jackson, who ran in 1984. I will also mention the late mayor of New York City, Mayor David Dinkins, the first black man to be elected mayor of the largest city in the country. People like those open up the doors for Barack Obama to be able to become president of the United States. And for those women who feel that you're not going to vote for the sister, wake up and smell the coffee. Because what we're looking at on the other side, it is devastating. And you don't want to wake up on the 6th of November and say, well, I didn't vote. Well, if you don't vote, you're voting for Donald Trump. If you don't vote, you're voting for Donald Trump. So be mindful of what you say and be mindful of what you do. Because in 2016, Gregory Smith, when we were saying that this is the most consequential election that we'll ever face, we said it in 2016. We said it in 2020, but right now, this is the most consequential election so far in our lifetime. I'm going to close here, and here's where I'm going to close. When Barack Obama ran for president in 2008, America was on the brink of a financial depression. Kamala Harris's run to the White House, America is on the brink of democracy exiting the United States. And that is where I want you to speak on, so we end this conversation this morning. You look at what we're facing in America, and it's very scary. It's very scary, Gregory. Is this a democracy?
I think it was Frederick Douglass once said, no progress is gained without struggle. I think that's the exact quote. Our democracy always requires work. And again, that's, we learned that from working with Senator Obama then. It requires work. What you touched on in terms of folks showing up to vote is the work being done right now. And the work being done right now is this. When a mass of people or when a majority of folks show up to vote, even on early voting, it represents the fact that we have seen an end to a system that we always thought needed pruning, not destroying. And folks are now showing up to prune America, mm-hmm. very much like you fix your car, you fix up your house because something needed some paint job. You go over here and you paint it more, you fix it up. You don't tear it down. Mm-hmm. Folks who showed up in Atlanta recently and broke all records for first day early vote,
right,
is saying to America, yo, this guy tried to steal from us the last time. He asked for 11,778 votes that he needed to win our state. We're going to make sure he knows never to come back here. So we're going to show up in droves and vote him away and let him be answerable to all the criminality that is in front of him. That is Trump's future. America's future is to realize that their next best hope is a sister who is going to make them glad they voted for her and sick that they had questioned her in the first place when given the choice.
Yes, yes.
And that's where we are. And I want every woman out there who is raising a daughter to one day say, like my mom told me, when my mom used to say, Greg, you know, you weren't born here, so you can't be American president, but you could be anything else you put your mind to. And right. sometimes I would say, Mom, you're lying. Because every time I look in the White House, there's somebody who don't look like me, up until Barack. And now we could tell our kids, yeah. No, man, I can do that too. Why? Because I saw it already.
Right.
We need a woman to be the first president of America, and every woman will be better for it, and so will the men.
Indeed, indeed. You know, Greg, President Joe Biden this week called Donald Trump unhinged. And yes, he's unhinged. And the reason why he called him unhinged this week, Gregory Smith and listeners, is because at the town hall this past week, someone got hurt while Trump was taking questions. So he stopped taking the questions. And he got into this dance. And he stood on the stage for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Just dancing. To nothing. While somebody was being attended to. Somebody who was hurt. This man is off his rockers, bro. And let me say this, folks. Something must be really wrong with a nation where white folks believe that a black person with a felony conviction deserve to be murdered And when he or she is murdered by the police, it's no problem. But a white man with 34 felony conviction can be president of the United States. Something must be seriously wrong with that nation. And that nation we're talking about is America. The leader of the free world. The GOP, their standard bearer, is a convicted felon. I'm going to ask you for a closing statement, Mr. Gregory Smith.
I'm gonna close where I started. The issue isn't Trump. It's us. It's us. It's the man, woman in the mirror. I gotta tell you this. My youngest son is now able to vote. And I've never seen an 18-year-old so giddy. And I'm saying to myself, my God, man, my 18-year-old is fired up to vote. When I was 18, I wasn't fired up to any kind of anything political, nothing. But he has friends who is of every ethnicity. He has friends who are gay, straight, black, white, Indian, Chinese, what have you. And their vision of the world is what Christ asked of us all, man. I am my brother. I am my sister's keeper. And the darkness ends when we elect Kamala. And again, I tell you, we're all going to be better for it. Believe me on that. It's like being in a bad relationship and you stay in it. And when you finally leave and you find a person you should have been with, you want to kick yourself saying, look how much time I wasted. But thanks be to God, I am here now. And I am going to enjoy the journey. Buddy, better days are in front of us. And it always will be in front of us. We can't live this life looking in the rear view. There's a reason the rear view is small in the car. And you experience it and you move on and you're in the windshield of your life.
Indeed.
The big picture is in front of you.
Indeed.
Kamala Harris is the big picture America. Just like Barack was. Just like Barack was, so will she be.
Indeed. Indeed.
And I must add, Barack picked her initially, way before we knew who Kamala was. Barack had picked her out of California. So the guy had vision then, and he has more vision now.
And he has now joined the campaign for the next 2 weeks to ensure that she gets to the White House. You know, before I go, Greg, I must share with you that last Sunday at Abyssinian Baptist Church, there was a guest speaker, the 57th mayor of Montgomery, Alabama. And if you know anything about Montgomery, that is where freedom for black people goes through in America. The civil rights, the voting rights. And he made a statement. And the statement was, even in the darkest moment, we must stand firm. Even in the darkest moment, we must stand firm. He also said that we all mess up. We all mess up. Yes, at some point, we all mess up. But guess what? We have to wake up and smell the coffee and realize that on November 5th, there's only one choice. There's only one choice. There's two people running. But folks, there's one choice. And that choice is Kamala Harris for president. Gregory Smith, I thank you very much for joining the series here. It has been a good series so far. Bob Gore, who was once Jesse Jackson's campaign manager in 1984, he joined the series. We had folks like Professor Basil Wilson from John Jay College. He joined the series. I had some great people talking about Kamala Harris for president. And I hope to continue it next week as we continue here on Groovin' Radio. Thank you so much, Mr. Gregory Smith, and we'll talk later on today, my friend.
Yes, I thank you as well.
One love, my brother.
One love.
One love. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of Mic Check this Saturday morning, Sparking Global Changes. That was my special guest, one of Barack Obama's former field general out in Denver, Colorado, when Barack Obama ran for president, Mr. Gregory H. Smith.